Though this outward man, glory, hallelujah. Though this outward man be destroyed, the inner man is being renewed day by day. It's well with my soul. Glory.
It is well.
It is well.
With my soul.
With my soul. God, we thank you. God, we bless you. Hallelujah. What a blessing to be a child of God. What a blessing to be saved, sanctified, filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. What a marvelous blessing to be on our way to heaven. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. What a blessing to look forward to leaving all of this behind. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. My soul does magnify the Lord. Amen. God is just a wonder in my soul. Amen. I'm happy in Jesus. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 God is just, he's just awesome. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory. Father, you made me out of clay, and for your glory, I was made. Use this vessel, Lord, as you choose. And let my life, let it praise you. Speak to our hearts this morning. Speak under the control, direction of the Holy Ghost. Give us ears to hear what your Spirit has to say to the church. And give us hearts to obey. Lord, we need you. Always have, always will. Be glorified today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 43. Psalm 43. Amen. I want to talk about, I shall yet praise him. I shall yet praise him. I don't know what your yet praise, what drives you to yet praise, but I think we all have something that will drive us to take a stand that I shall yet praise him. Amen. That's what I want to talk about this morning, because everybody in here is going through something. And truth be told, there's a lot of us are going through more than one thing. Like things are being compounded. And I think I shared here recently that when we start fasting and praying, expect opposition. So we started fasting and praying, and opposition is rearing his head. But we're not going to be alarmed. We're just going to intensify. So in the midst of opposition, I shall yet praise him. In the midst of forces being marshaled against us, I've determined that I shall yet praise him. This is a psalm we believe that is written by David in this 43rd psalm, and it's a psalm some of the writers and historians say he was praying this prayer to make a reentrance into the temple. Now you remember, I believe it was last week, we talked about return. And we were dealing with the fact that offerings had stopped being given. The ministers were mourning. If y'all were here last week, y'all remember something along those lines. And we prayed a prayer, and we believe God heard our prayer. Amen. And we purposed in our heart that we would return to God. All right? So here in Psalm 43, very short psalm, I have the Amplified version of the Bible, and it says, beginning at verse 1, "Judge and vindicate me, O God. Plead and defend my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. For you are the God of my strength, my stronghold, in whom I take refuge. Why have you cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O send your light. I'm sorry. O send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Then will I go to the altar of God, to God, my exceeding joy. Yes, with the lyre will I praise you, O God, my God. Why are you cast down, O my inner self? And why should you moan over me and be disquieted within me? Hope in God and wait expectantly for him. For I shall yet praise him, who is the help of my sad countenance and my God." What I like about this psalm is it shows the humanness of David. And it's a very short prayer, but I think we can identify with the feelings and the intents of David's heart here as he's writing. Here in verse number 1, he asks God to judge him. And I'm so glad that he asked God and not someone else, because God is the righteous judge of all the earth. And God looks at our hearts, and he can tell the intents and the motive of our hearts. So he's asking the righteous judge to judge him. He's asking the righteous judge to sift his heart for the very motives and purposes of his heart. He says, "Vindicate, vindicate, judge and vindicate me, O God." He says, "Plead and defend my cause." So David is praying here to the sovereign God, and he's asking the sovereign God to examine him thoroughly. And upon the completion of the examination, then he wants God to vindicate him. And then he wants God to deliver him. I wonder how many of us can approach God like that. How many of us are willing to say, "God, I need you to thoroughly examine me. Thoroughly examine me. Sift through every area of my heart, sift through every area of my mind with a fine-tooth comb. I don't just need a cursory examination. Let's just say this platform is our heart. God, I don't need you just to walk around my heart and look on the outer defenses of my heart or the outer walls of my heart, but I need you to get in there where the real me is. I need you to get in there where the secret thoughts of, and the intents of my heart is. I want you to examine the me that I am when there ain't nobody else around. That's the type of examination I want you to look at my heart. And then, God, since you can't be fooled and since you can't be mocked, then I have to bear my heart out before you. Right? And then and only then. Now, I don't even trust my own heart, because the scripture lets us know that the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Above all, who can know it? But I'm so glad that God knows the heart. Who's willing this morning to put your heart on God's examination table? Who's willing to put all your secret thoughts, everything, your heart laid bare before God? Guess what? If you're willing or not willing, God sees it like that anyway. So we might as well just say, okay, God, examine my heart. This is why the scripture lets us know that we have to guard our heart. We have to guard our hearts with all diligence, because out of our heart proceeds the issues of life. So that means that we have to do some self-check and some self-analysis of our own hearts. Examine my motives. Why am I doing what I'm doing? Am I doing it because I want God to say, well done, or I want people to say, oh, well, he did good, or she did good? What's the real reason and motivation of my heart? So God, examine my heart. Examine my heart. And when you examine it, I'm praying that you will vindicate me. But what I love about God is if we tell God to examine our hearts, or if we ask God for the results of the examination, surely he will let us know. He will definitely let us know, and he will let us know if there's some things that we need to do to get our hearts clean. And when God lets us know that there's some things that we need to do to get our hearts clean, guess what? We need to do it, because we won't get the vindication that we seek from God unless and until we do what he tells us to get the dirt out of our heart. So David is willing to go under the examination of God, and then he asks God for vindication. So he made up in his mind, I believe, that whatever God declares is righteous. He said that in Psalm 51, actually. But he has this frame of mind, and this is the type of frame of mind we need to have with God, that whatever God declares is right, is righteous. Whatever God declares about us, we know that God will speak truth. Sometimes it may not be what we want to hear, but God, I need you to examine my heart, because I don't want to fool myself. Self-deception, I believe, is the worst kind. So Psalm 139 says, search me thoroughly, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there is any wicked or hurtful way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. God, I need you to try my heart. I need you. You ever notice how sometimes situations and circumstances can happen and we react in a way that we thought we would never react in? Anybody ever had that experience? All right. Because, listen, sometimes we don't know what's in our heart. That's why we got to guard it. And we can't allow ourselves to be in an environment with this junk. And junk gets in our heart and we act like everybody else act. No, we can't do that. That's not spiritually healthy. It's not spiritually healthy. So in verse number 2, he says, for you are the God of my strength, my stronghold, in whom I take refuge. So David here is confessing to God. He said, you are the God of my strength. And he's confessing to God that he is his hiding place. It is good for us to acknowledge to God who and what he is to us. In this short prayer, David is saying, God, you're my strength. I don't have any strength except from God. We don't have any strength except from God. How often do we acknowledge to God who he is to us? This is what he's doing in this prayer. He said, God, you're my strength. You're my strength. You are the one. You're my stronghold. You're my fortress in whom I take refuge. I can hide in God. This is what David is saying. I can hide in God. The Bible says the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run to it, and they are safe. So we all can hide in God. It's good to acknowledge and confess to God who he is to us. God, you're my everything. See, if we would keep this type of a mindset, then when we are encouraged to praise God, everybody has an individual praise that they can give unto God. So when we have an opportunity then to praise God, there should be a thunderous chorus of individual praises if God is who we say that he is to us. Then it shouldn't be quiet when it's praise time, right? if God, now either God is who he say he is to us, or we just shaking and faking. David confesses, God, you're my strength. God, you're my rock. God, you're my hiding place. God, you're my provider. Y'all are going to help one another this morning. So just for a moment, you just confess to God right now who he is to you. He already knows it, but he want to hear you say it. Too quiet. It's too quiet. It's too quiet. That's all right. That's okay. Maybe by the end of this, the light will come on. Huh? Maybe by the end of this, the light will come on. But just think about what happened yesterday in Manhattan. Huh? The bomb that went off in Manhattan. And here we are sitting safe. It could have been Los Angeles. Huh? And then they found another one. But it wasn't detonated yet. And here we have the audacity to sit here like we got it all made, like we protecting ourselves. Listen, Homeland Security, thank God for it, but God is our real security. Huh? And we have the audacity to sit here and say, oh, well, God, you are my rock. God, you are my refuge. You're my hiding place. Even if a bomb takes me out, as soon as the bomb takes me out, I'll be in the presence of God. I don't know. That's all right. I'm going to keep going. I shall yet praise him. That's why I made it personal. I shall yet praise him. You got to make this personal because your test, your trial, your situation is uniquely yours. It may be similar, but you have to make up in your mind that whatever we're going through, I shall yet praise him. I will praise God in the midst of whatever. Sometimes things I don't even understand, but still I'm going to praise him. Because he deserves that and more. So David, he confesses to God, God, you are my strength. You are my stronghold in whom I take refuge. And I like the humanness of David in this prayer. Because David, he speaks something that we sometimes are afraid to speak to God. You see? Now he's praying to God. And he asked this question. Now, he just got finished confessing that God is his hiding place. Huh? He just got finished telling God, God, you're my hiding place. Right? Then he says, why have you cast me off? Wait a minute. That sounds like something. Huh? God, you're my hiding place. I take refuge in you. Then he said, why have you cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy. Now that does not sound like the same man, but it is. Huh? David is showing us in our humanness, huh? And we got to deal and wrestle sometimes with our humanness. We feel like that, but I'm so glad that his relationship was so tight with God that he can be real with God. God, I feel like you done cast me off, or let's bring it up to 2016. God, you done kicked me to the curb, huh? What's up with this, God? Huh? Yeah, you're my hiding place. You're my strength. But right now, because of the oppression of the enemy, this is how I feel. Would to God that we would really get down and pray and talk to God and tell God how we really feel. Don't be religiously, politically correct with God. That gets you nowhere. If you're upset, let God know I'm upset because this situation is not the way that I like it. God ain't gonna get mad with you getting upset. David said, God, you done cast me off. This praiser, this worship leader talking to God here said, God, why'd you cast me off? I like his honesty. I like his integrity. You know, how you doing? I'm fine. No, I'm not. How you doing? I'm not doing too good. What's wrong? I feel like God done cast me off. Yeah, you still saved. Huh? But this is how I feel. Thank God for this word. Because sometimes we don't have the courage to admit to God, let alone somebody else, how we really feel about the situation. God, I feel like you done me wrong. Why did this have to come to me? We can talk to God like that. You won't hurt his feelings because he knows that's how we feel anyway. He said, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, so tell God the truth about how you're feeling. Even though I feel at times that God has cast me off, I shall yet praise him. But I got to work through this prayer, though. I can't stop here, because if I stop here, I will get stuck here. Huh? I'm so glad that David didn't stop and end that psalm or in that prayer right there, because he would have been stuck. But he dealt with the way that he felt. And that's good in our relationship with God, that we tell God how we really feel. And when we can do that more freely and openly, guess what? We can tell one another, how we really feel. I can tell my wife how I really feel. You can tell your spouse how you really feel. Tell your kids how you really feel. And they can tell you how they really feel. Oh, real quiet. Let me move. I think I might have hit a vein. Let me patch that up real quick for somebody to bleed. Amen. But we need to tell each other how we really feel. Mom, I don't like that. I know I'm your child, but I think I should do it this way. All right. That rabbit got out. I don't feel like chasing that rabbit this morning, but it jumped out of there. It jumped out of there. David, the psalmist says in Psalm 91, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. On him I lean and rely, and in him I confidently trust. So it looks like there's a battle going on. I trust in God, but God, I feel like God cast me off. God is my hiding place, but I'm mourning because of the oppression of the enemy. So here we see the humanness. And see, so we understand that if you allow me to use this expression, David is basically saying, I feel you. Yeah, I feel you. I know that there's going to be times in our lives when we feel like this. We know, intellectually, we know who God is, right? We know who God is, right? But internally, and because of the situations, sometimes we feel like we're getting the short end of the stick. And it is okay to express that to God, because he knows how we... God don't want us to be hypocrites. Tell God, God, I don't like this. I don't like it. You're not going to hurt his feelings. He's God enough to handle all of our expressions. He's God enough. Our expressions and our hurt feelings is not going to make him any less God. He's still going to be God. And he still has the answer for everything that we're going through. We just got to process it. All right? Let's move. So now, David is saying, David shares his feelings again about being cast off by God. The oppression of the enemy can cause us to mourn at times. Just know that. We can cry. The oppression of the enemy can cause us to cry. That's all right. Cry out to God. That's the right thing to do. The right thing to do. So now he's continuing in this prayer, and he says in verse number 3, oh, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. See, so we see something happening now in this prayer. This prayer is evolving now. David is dealing with the stuff that he's going through, but now he looked like he's coming around to his senses. Don't it look that way? See, we got the benefit of looking at David, but maybe we can remember that we need to not end the prayer there like we feel like God has cast us off, but we need to continue like David did. David says, oh, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. So David here is asking for illumination and stability from God. God, I need your light. I hear the Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. All right, so David is saying, God, send your light and your truth. Now, light and truth refers to the word of God. We need God's light and we need God's truth. He said, God, send it. Please send it. Oh, send your light and your truth. Let your light, let the illumination of your word, let the steadfastness and the stability of your word, let it come to me. Let your word come to me, and let your word, your light and your truth, let them lead me. So if you want to be led in illumination and stability on a sure foundation, we desperately need the word of God. David is saying, let your light, let your truth, let them lead me, let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. So when we get into the word of God, because God is the word, so at the more we get into God's word, we are being led. If we receive it, if we believe it, if we adhere to it, that means if we obey it, then God is leading us to the place that he wants us to be. All right, so David is praying for this illumination. David is praying. He understands that he needs God's word. Psalm 119 and 1 says, blessed, happy, fortunate, to be envied are the undefiled, the upright, the truly sincere and blameless in the way of the revealed will of God. What is the revealed word of God? Anybody got a Bible in here? Hold it up for just a moment. Hold it up just for just a moment. That is the revealed will of God. And he says, blessed, happy, fortunate, to be envied are the undefiled, the upright, the truly sincere and blameless. So when you look into the word of God, you got to be truly sincere. You just can't be reading it just to say that you read it, but you got to be truly sincere. You got to be blameless. You got to be upright. He says, in the way of the revealed will of God, who walk, who order their conduct and their conversation in the law of the Lord, the whole of God's revealed will. So we have to order our steps. We have to walk in agreement to the word of God. And as we walk in agreement to the word of God, that means his light and his truth is leading us. So if God's word says go this way and we go that way, then we're not walking in the light. We're not walking in the light if we're not walking in the direction that God word has decided and declared that we should go to. Psalm 119 and 130 says, the entrance, the unfolding of your words give light. Their unfolding gives understanding, discernment, and comprehension to the simple. So all we have to do is get in the word of God. All we have to do is, when we get in to God's word, ask God to open up our minds. Ask God to open up our understanding. Ask God to help us as we receive his word so we can walk in it. We can walk in it. So this is the part of the prayer that David is in currently. And then in verse 162 of Psalm 119, he said, I rejoice at your word as one who finds great spoil. So David said, your word is more valuable to me than treasure. How valuable is the word of God to you? Real quiet. How valuable is the word of God to you? How much time do you spend reading God's word? How much time do you spend meditating on God's word? How much time do you spend obeying God's word? How much time do you spend sharing God's word? How much time? David said, I rejoice at your word as one who finds great spoil, great treasure, an abundance of wealth. That's how I rejoice at your word. Excuse me. Who rejoices at the word like that? Real quiet. Real quiet. Verse number 4, he says, then, then will I go to the altar of God. Where did then come from? After the light and the truth has led me, after the light and the truth brings me to your holy hill, after the light and the truth brings me to your dwelling, after I immerse myself in your word. Yes, I understand that I felt like a castaway. Yes, I understand that God had done me wrong, or that God is doing me wrong. But when I got into the word of God and I understand the ways of God, and I allowed God's word to lead me, I allowed God's word to take me from that state of discouragement and discontent, I came to the altar. Then I came to the altar. So the word of God led me to the altar. The word of God led me maybe even into a deeper prayer. The word of God found me, and it pointed out my condition. And then he said, then I will go to the altar of God, to God, my exceeding joy. So somewhere along the line between me feeling that I was cast away, I found some joy in God's word. Somewhere along the line in reading God's word, I found out that, wait a minute, God has me on his mind all the time. Somewhere along the line, when me feeling like it was nobody going through this but me, I found out that God has a plan for my life. Somewhere along the line, I read in God's word that he'll never leave me, neither will he forsake me. Somewhere along the line of me feeling that I was cast off, I looked to God's word and found out, reminded myself that I can do all things through Christ that gives me the strength. Somewhere along the line in reading God's word, I found out that the Lord is a very present help in a time of trouble. Somewhere along the line, I looked into God's word and got some encouragement. So I allowed David to say, now I'm getting ready to come to the altar. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God, my exceeding joy. So some look like joy returned, and God is my joy. When I consider God, how great he is, how powerful he is, and how mindful of me and my entire situation he is, joy starts bubbling up in my soul, because I know I'm not by myself. I realize for real, he's the fourth man in my fire. Yeah, so this with the joy starts to bubbling again. Here's the joy coming back. He says, not only will I go to the altar of God, to God, but he's my exceeding joy. And he co-signs his own prayer. He said, yes, that's right. Sometimes you got to encourage yourself and say, yeah, that's right. God is my joy. Yes, that's right. He is my exceeding joy. Yes, you got to talk to yourself sometimes. Yes, God is my strength. Oh, yes, he is. God is my hiding place. Yes, so I can come boldly. I don't have to tiptoe to the altar. I can run down to the altar of God and lay out prostrate if necessary, and just talk to the God of my salvation. He says, he's my exceeding joy. Then he says, yes, with the lyre will I praise you, Oh God, my God. So I'm coming to the altar with the praise. I'm not coming to the altar with a complaint. I'm coming to the altar and I'm gonna be making some noise on the way there. Glory, hallelujah, because I got my joy back. Wait a minute, it has always been with me, but my mind had to click onto something and say, God is with me. I don't care what problem I'm going through, God is bigger than all of my problems combined. Not only is he bigger than all of my problems, he's bigger than the combined problems of the entire congregation. So we can come boldly unto the throne of grace. We can come with joy. We ain't got to come with our head hanging down. We ain't got to come with a sad song. We can come praising the God of our salvation. So he said, yeah, I'm going to come. I'm going to have some instruments of praise. Not only am I going to have some instruments of praise, I might have an instrument. Let me see that flag there, honey. I might have some instruments of praise, and it's actually two instruments of praise, because this is one instrument in my hand, but here's an instrument of praise right here. So I'm going to be making some noise when I come to the altar. I'm going to be making some noise. I'm going to be making a joyful sound because I know that God, he is my exceeding joy. And anytime you got exceeding joy, you ain't going to be quiet about nothing. If you got exceeding joy, you're going to make some noise. People around you are going to say, what's going on with him? What's going on with her? I don't see nothing changed in their life. I don't see this. You ain't got to see nothing. But I'm seeing through the eyes of faith that God is my joy. He is my vindicator. He is my deliverer. He is my strong tower. So I shall yet praise him. I shall yet praise him. Listen, look at me crazy if you want to, but I know that God has done too much for me to keep my mouth shut. So, listen, I certainly don't want the rocks to cry out in my place. So I shall yet praise him. Yeah. Things are not going 100% like I want them to go, but even so, I shall yet praise him. So I'm going to take something in my hand. God's deserve for us to make some noise about him, and it has to be a joyful noise. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Come before him with singing. When you think about how God sings over us, God sings songs of deliverance over us, and he echoes them to us, and we ought to lift up a song of praise to our God. Tambourines, all type of instruments, God is deserving of that praise. Yes, he is. Short prayer, but powerful prayer when we unpack it and see the relevance of it in our life today. God's word is powerful. God's word will help us. If we allow him to help us, he'll help us. Hallelujah. David said, I'm going to take an instrument of praise. I might not be on the praise team, but I'll be my own praise team. Glory, hallelujah, because the praise team, glory, did not deliver me. God delivered me. The praise team did not, thank God for them. We need them. But in the midst of my condition, I give God a praise. Just me and him. That's the best kind, uninterrupted praise, non-distracted praise. I don't have to be on key because I don't know what key that I am, but God will hear it. Glory, hallelujah. God, that praise comes from the heart. I might be flat all the time, but God will hear that praise. Glory, 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 hallelujah. So here's what he says. Now we see the humanness popping up again. in this short prayer, the humanness. We're going to have to deal with our humanness. Just know that. But we will not let our humanness, or we should not let our humanness impact our praise. I don't feel 100% in my body today, but I'm still going to praise God. Glory. Hallelujah. So now, he says in verse number 5, why? So now, David got some encouragement. He's talking to his own soul. When he considered what God has done for him, when he considered how God is his vindicator, when he considers how God is his deliverer, he's like slapping himself in the face, like saying, come on, man, get your act together. Talk to your soul. You ain't got no reason in the world. Don't you know? Didn't you just tell yourself that God is your exceeding joy? Sometimes we got to talk to ourselves like that. Listen, because when we talk to ourselves like that, then we can drown out the voice of the enemy that's telling you, you're not going to make it, you're not going to do this, and you're not going to do that. I hear the Bible said that I can do all things through Christ that gives me the strength. I hear the word of God says, thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph. I got victory in Jesus' name. We are always triumphant through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So talk to your soul sometime. Talk to your soul like David did. He said, why? Why are you cast down? Oh, my inner self. Why are you cast down? You ain't got nothing. Glory. Hallelujah. Yeah, I know you're going through a little something. Yeah, I know you're going through light afflictions like Paul declared. But really, talk to you. You need to tell your soul, can we talk? You need to tell your soul, why are you cast down? Oh, my inner self, and why should you moan, glory, over me and be disquieted? Glory. My soul shouldn't be disquieted. There shouldn't be any conflict in my soul. There shouldn't be any unrest in my soul. There shouldn't be any disturbance in my soul when I know who I am, and when I know who I belong to, and when I know how great God is. So why are you cast down, oh, my inner self, and why should you moan? My soul ain't got no business moaning. I have nothing to complain about. I'm going to heaven. We're going to heaven, and we're just passing through here. So whatever we got to go through, let's just tell our soul, quit crying. Glory. Why are you cast down, oh, my inner self? And why should you moan over me and be disquieted within me? Talk to your soul and tell your soul, hope. Glory. Hallelujah. Hope in God. You got to have some hope in God. I hear the Bible said that a man doesn't hope for what he sees, but my hope is in God. Somebody wrote a song and said, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean, entirely lean on Jesus' name. So why are you cast down, oh, my inner self, and why should you moan over me and be disquieted within me? Talk to your soul. Encourage your soul. Listen, you can talk yourself. You got the power to talk yourself out of depression. Glory, hallelujah. You hear what I said? You got the power to talk yourself. If you got the Holy Ghost, you got the power to talk yourself out of depression and save yourself them counseling fees. Glory, hallelujah. Save yourself some money. Look to the word of God and say, why are you cast down? Oh, my soul, hope in God. hope, where's your hope? My hope is not in the government. My hope is not in financial institutions. My hope is in God and God alone. So why are you cast down? Listen, you ain't staying here forever. You got a city that God is preparing for you. We got a place. God said he got a mansion for us. Jesus said, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. So what you cast down about, he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. That's what my hope is in, a prepared place for prepared people. So while he's preparing there, I'll be preparing here. So when he cracks the sky, I'll be ready to go. So why are you cast down, oh my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God. Listen, whatever you lose your keys, lose your wallet, lose the whatever, but don't you dare lose your hope. Glory, hallelujah. Don't lose your hope. Hope thou in God. I hope in God, and I hope you continue to hope in God. Jesse Jackson said something. We're going to borrow it for a moment. Jesse said, keep hope alive. I don't know if he was talking about God, but that's what I'm talking about. I ain't talking about Jesse. I'm talking about Jesus. Glory. Hallelujah. So keep your hope alive. Keep your hope in Jesus. So why? So the next time you feel that depression spirit linking around your house, it's soon. Listen, wait a minute. He did ask God for illumination, didn't he? He did ask God for stability. So God will illuminate you, and with the illumination comes a pre-warning. God can say, depression's coming. So, all right, I'm on the lookout for it. I'm on the lookout for it. So when depression comes and tries to sit on my shoulder and talk to me and tell me, you ain't gonna do nothing, God is through with you and this and that, get behind me, Satan. And if my soul has the audacity to entertain that just for a few moments, then God's word comes to me and says, why are you cast down, oh my soul? And what you doing, make it all, cut out that racket. Tell your soul to keep quiet. Cut out that racket. Why are you, see, when you're disquiet, you make some noise. There's some grumblings. And sometimes, oh God, God's helping me to preach. I'm preaching to myself. I feel like shouting right now. Glory. Hallelujah. Listen, that's where the grumblings come from. When things ain't going the way you think, the way we think they should go, we get the grumbling. I don't like this. I don't like that. And we tell the wrong people. You ain't got no business telling me what you don't like. You tell God. Hallelujah. Tell God. That's what David did. He talked to God. So if you got some groanings, if your soul is disquieted, tell your soul, shut up and go to God. Hallelujah. Tell your soul, cut out that racket. This is what he's saying. Why are you disquieted? What you making all that noise for, soul? Hope in God. Hallelujah. So preach to yourself. You're a kingdom of priests. Next time your soul start making up some racket, y'all know how we used to when we were kids, we was in the room playing or whatever, and we got too loud. Mama said, cut out that racket. Didn't she? Yes, she did. Well, Dad might say, all right, tell your soul the same thing. Cut it out and hope in God. Tell your soul, all right, in your father's voice, all right, cut it out. That's enough, soul. Hope in God. We gotta talk to ourselves. Why are you cast down, my inner self? Why should you moan over me and be disquieted within me? Hope in God and wait expectantly for him. I'm waiting for God to do something. I'm waiting with expectation because he's just that type of a guy. So I know he's going to do it. I just don't know when. But while I'm waiting, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to praise. Glory. Glory. I'm going to wait because I'm waiting with expectation. I'm not waiting like, oh, I don't know what's going to happen. I know what's going to happen. I know what's going to happen. It's going to happen at the right time. It's going to happen when God says so. So hope in God and wait expectantly for him. Here it is. For I shall. I tell yourself. Now, you can't speak this to yourself if you ain't going to do it. But those of us who will do it, declare over yourself. For I shall yet praise him. All right, say it like you really mean it. For I shall yet praise him. Okay, now talk to your soul, because your soul might be trying to make up some racket. You got to tell your soul again, for I shall yet praise him. Yeah, because you know how your soul getting. You just saying that in church. You just saying that because everybody. Tell your soul to shut up and hope in God. Come on, you got to talk to you. Listen, we ain't playing no games in here. Huh? Cut that racket out. I'm hoping in God. For I shall yet praise him. I shall yet praise him. Who is, glory, who is the help? I shall yet praise him. I'm praising the one who is the help of my sad countenance. God wants to help you with your, God help me today. Because some of us look so sad. God wants to help you with your sad countenance. God wants to put a smile, glory, on your face. What you looking like? You done ate a six-pack of lemons. Ooh, glory, and you all frowned up. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Look at, Lord, I don't want to say that. Oh, your face looking like a chicken's rear. Glory. Hallelujah. Yes, that's how sour you look. You look like a chicken's rear. Oh, God. God is the help of my sad countenance. Wait a minute. He did say that he is my exceeding joy. So if God is my exceeding joy and he's the help of my sad countenance, I ought to look like it. Glory. Hallelujah. I ought to look like I'm happy with Jesus. I ought to look like I'm on my way to heaven. I ought to look like he is my deliverer. I ain't got no sad song. I ain't got no sad continence. I ain't been sucking on lemons all week. I'm happy. What you smiling about? Stuff going on in your life. I know what you're going through. My hope is in God. He is the help of my sad countenance. So when depression comes, talk to it. When the sad look try to get on you, talk to it. When your soul gets to making noise, talk to it. Open up your mouth and declare what God has declared in his word. No matter what the circumstance, no matter what I'm going through, no matter what I'm in, I have decided and determined that I shall yet praise him. Now this type of praise is not a sit-down praise. I looked it up because I want to know, God, what you mean I shall yet? What was David talking about? David was talking about, I'm going to stand up and I'm going to shoot my arms out and give God praise. You can't sit on this kind of joy. You can't sit with your arms folded and your legs crossed on this type of joy. If you really have it, no matter what, in the face of everything, I'm going to lift up my hands. I'm going to lift up my voice. And I'm going to yet praise him. I shall. You hear what I said? I said I shall. Not I might. Not if the conditions are met. Not if he does this, that, and that. Not if he goes down my list. But no matter, I shall. Extend my arms. I shall lift my hands. I shall yet
praise him. He's the help of my sad countenance. I shall, you hear what I said? I said, I shall yet praise him. I shall yet praise him. I shall. I'm talking to my soul. I shall yet praise him. I shall yet praise him. I shall yet praise him. Kids acting crazy. I shall yet praise him. Mama got on my last nerve. I shall yet praise him. Job acting funny. I shall yet praise him. Sickness in my body. I shall yet praise him. My relationships are in trouble. I shall yet praise him. My money is funny and my change is strange. I shall yet praise him. 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 Oh yes I will. Oh yes I will. I shall yet praise him. So when the enemy comes in, watch this, when the enemy comes in, now he don't come in like a flood, he just comes in. But the Bible said, like a flood, he's talking about the Spirit of God will lift up a standard against the enemy. So when the enemy comes in, I shall praise the God of my salvation, and he won't be able to stay in the atmosphere that's filled with praise. So when the enemy knocks on my door or rings my doorbell or sends me a text message or a Snapchat or Rat Chat, whatever chat it is, I shall yet praise him. I will resist the devil and he gonna flee from me. I'm gonna resist him with praise. I'm gonna resist him with prayer. I'm gonna resist him with the word. But I shall, I said I shall yet praise. You can't praise for me and I can't praise for you. You're going through and you we're all going through. But here's what we must do. We shall. I said we shall yet praise. Give God praise. Glory, glory, I shall yet praise, I shall, glory, 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 I shall. Glory! Glory! Remember this. Remember this word. You're going to need this word this week. Remember this word. I shall yet praise him. I don't care what news, good, bad, or indifference comes your way. I shall yet praise him. What report, diagnosis, prognosis, I shall yet praise him. Glory. I think I need some more. Somebody freshen up my tea. Let my nurse freshen up my tea. That's all right. My voice is going, but I shall yet praise him. Yes. We are the Apostolic Faith Home Assembly Church. We're located in the city of Los Angeles. We have determined that whatever we go through, we shall yet praise him. So if you're watching by live stream, we encourage you this morning, whatever you're going through, yet praise. Do you have a yet praise for God? If we live and the Lord will, we'll see you next Sunday at 10 a.m. Pacific time. For the next 15 minutes, there's a prayer counselor standing by. There's a number on the screen. Call, and our prayer counselors will be happy to pray with you. If we live and the Lord will, we'll see you next Sunday in Jesus' name.